This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome to Rooted and Robust Podcast.
Everyone, welcome to another amazing episode of Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji. You know how we do it on the show. I always have a guest. And of course, today we want to look at something that would benefit you also, right? That is all we do on this show. We always have a guest and we always discuss something of value. So today we want to delve into the fascinating topic of navigating career transitions. So whether you're contemplating a change in profession, seeking advancement within your field, or exploring entirely new avenues, navigating career transitions can be an exciting but challenging experience. We'll be discussing practical strategies and expert insights to help you thrive during these transformative periods. I am not alone on the show, like always. I have an amazing, amazing guest that will help drive this conversation home. I am talking about Ruth Zubairu. She is with me on the show, and we are going to have an amazing, amazing time. Welcome on the show, Ruth. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Ozioma, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It is my honor to host you. Today, we want to look at navigating career transitions. Now, one of the amazing things, I should say, that COVID did was that COVID jolted us all. It made a lot of people change careers. Some of us went indoors. Some of us had to look elsewhere, look into the online space, into the internet world and all of that. So career transitions has probably become an everyday conversation in the workplace, right? So that is why this conversation is happening. But first of all, let's get to meet you. Who is Ruth Zubairu?
Thank you. Thank you so much. When I got the invitation and I saw the topic, it actually made me smile because the summary of my professional life is career transitions. And so it's been a steady flow of transitioning from one stage, you know, to the other. So I'm the lead consultant for Adoza Visibility Company. So it's a marketing agency where we serve industry experts and professionals. We help them build innovative solutions for their businesses. So for them to get known, get seen, and get paid online. So if they're thinking social media, websites, online programs, courses, all of those things, that's what we do. I'm also the tech founder of Sambi. It's a content auto generator that helps content creators create amazing content in less time. So they're using artificial intelligence to power content creation, content writing for people, so they don't have to start from scratch and all of that. And all of this that I do right now, I wasn't in 11 years ago. If you had told me this is what I'll be doing, I mean, I would be like, where, how? Because my background is in human anatomy, you know. So coming from human anatomy, now running a marketing organization and being a tech founder, So my life has been full of, you know, career transitions, and so I'm really excited to delve into the conversation today.
Yes, it's really exciting because, of course, we can glean from your own personal experience. So that will help really drive the point home. But first of all, I mean, you have experienced this on a personal note. So what would be some of the challenges that people will encounter when trying to change careers? What would be those first things that they should look out for? And possibly, how can they overcome them or possibly avoid them?
Okay, great. So when I was looking at this, I prepared like a mini talk using and the acronym FRAME. So we'll work through that acronym, and then I'll be able to share what the challenges are for those who are in crossroads and what the solution would be. So if you're writing on a paper or somewhere, you put FRAME. So the first F is face your fears and your future. The truth is, what exactly, where are you right now? What is your fear? Because many people are looking for transitions because they are afraid of something, or they've been dropped in the middle of something. So maybe they've been dropped out of a job, or their company has folded, or they are stuck in unemployment. So they are, they should be able to understand where they are. So what are your fears? Face the fears and then face your future. Okay, what if everything I think and dream about can manifest? What would I be? What can I be? So that is really important. Face your fears and your future. What if I'm to chart a new path for myself? Where will I go? Many people lose the zeal to dream because of their circumstances. Your circumstance should not determine how you dream. No. So I'm a Christian, and so it really guides me in how I do and live my life. The Bible said to Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. And so if you cannot see a future, then you cannot feature in the future that you don't picture. So you have to be able to face that, face your future and say, okay, what do I really want? And so that's F. Assess your skills, your strengths. So what are the things that I'm able to do? You know, what are the things I'm able to do? What do I have? Who am I? This is Ruth. So when I was starting out, when I couldn't do business like what I wanted, when I couldn't do the fashion that I wanted to do, and that's okay, what am I? What skills do I have? And I remember that I loved writing, I loved reading, I loved doing work, literary work. I said, okay, so what are the options in writing online that I can do from home? And so that was now what opened me up to blogging online. And so that leads me to the next framework. So that's R. R stands for research options. So do your research. So now you've had a dream, you've been able to build pictures about who you want to be, what you want to be. Then research the options. What are options for this particular thing right now? What are the options? What are the multiple paths? What are the multiple expressions of this particular thing? Because sometimes you may just think, oh, I like to talk. Or you like to talk has different expressions. You could either be a presenter. You could either be a comedian. You could either be an influencer. So there are different expressions. But if you don't do the research, you wouldn't know. Do you understand? True. So find multiple paths. Research the options. Consult with people. Ask people, let people ask what do you think I'm good at? Because sometimes what you're good at may look very small to you, but it's very glaring to everybody, you know.
Sure.
So research, find out, oh, what do you think I should be doing? And then you take it with a pinch of salt, just suppose where you want to go, and then you get going. So the next one is A, aim for success. Like now you've gotten your research, you've brought out things you want to do, set a goal. Just set, and we know the SMART goal system, you know, being specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Set a goal for yourself. What do I want? In what time? What is going to take me to that point? What are the things I need to do? How achievable? What is the smallest step I can take in order to achieve this goal? You know, is it realistic? That time bound, am I giving myself 1 year? Am I giving myself 2 years? Okay, I want to become an influencer. I want to have a YouTube account. How long is it going to take me? So settle all those things. Or you want to go and do a master's in order to get something. But you have to set a SMART goal. But you can't just set a goal without actually knowing where the goal is leading to. So that's why we had to start from the first one. And then we go to M, your magic squad. Like, who's around you? Who's your support system? Who are the people who are speaking to you and into you? You know, so your family, your peers, your mentors, mm-hmm. your coach is very important, especially in career transition. And I must share this story because it will help a lot of young people who are coming up. So when I was starting out online, I was really, because I'm Christian and I really love, you know, empowering people. So I was really huge about youth development, empowerment. And my first book I wrote was actually on self-confidence, overcoming self-esteem. And in conversation, I spoke to one of he's now my mentor. And he asked me, interesting, you've written a book. And I wanted to know, you know how they say, you write a book, you grow a coaching program. He now told me, so how do you intend to make money? I said, I'll sell books, I'll go for speaking events. And then he told me that, look, Ruth, I know you for a short time, but I think you have something with writing. There's really something about writing that stands out for me. So I think that you can do this youth empowerment thing as a give back. You can do it as like an initiative, but you need to have something that is for money that you can charge for. And I think this is your skill, you can charge for it. And that's how, because I was already there, I was already branding myself as a youth empowerment coach and all of that. And that's how I sat down and changed it. I'm someone that I really understand how to listen and take stock. So I just told myself, no, it's not going to, let me do it for 1 or 2 years and let's see. And in that time, that was what changed the directory of my work, because it would have been hard for me to gather youth and begin to charge them, you know, to inspire them and to get them fired up. But if you're coming to me for work, it's easy. Do you understand? And so I would have just locked myself up in a place where I'm doing work, but I'm not fulfilled because I have bills to pay and I'm not able to pay it. So having a magic squad is very important, because it will help you cut your losses very early. It will help you develop skills, and then you can leverage on their network. So if you have these people, and really especially mentors and coaches, it would really fast track your growth. And so if you're transitioning, always find someone to speak to. There's an example of a young lady who came to speak with my husband, because he's a HR professional, and she really wanted to transition to a job in HR. And what she was doing was a PA job, and they were paying good money. And he told her that, look, if you want to really eventually do HR, you would have to leave that job and go get a job in HR, because after some time, the entry level for, you will be past the entry level for HR. Then it will be called to then come back to do to build a career in HR. And so it took her a while, but she eventually did test and had to come back. And she first went to do volunteer in a HR consulting firm. And then she then made that transition. And when she finally got the job, she was so thankful, because she could now see a path. Her career path now had a something she can really look forward to and say, okay, this is how I'm going to grow in my career. I'll get certifications. But just because she paid attention to, you know, someone who was like a mentor to her. So it's very important, if you're thinking about transitioning, I mean, you're in one career, you know, moving, don't move mindlessly. There was another lady who was doing a call center job in Lagos. Sorry, I'm being very specific for those who are not Nigerian. And so she was a contract staff as a call center person. She did that for about 2-3 years, and she now got another job offer in Ibadan. Now, for those who are not Nigerian, Ibadan is a smaller town compared to where she was before Lagos. And she made that move without consultation. It was offering her a slightly higher salary, and because she was lured by that, she went to Ibadan. Now, the life in Ibadan is different. The prospects in Ibadan were vastly different. By the time she was looking to come back into to do something else, it was not possible for her. And she had lost years. She had now done in total 5 years as a customer care representative, and she was looking for like a regular job where she would grow within the ranks, like all these graduate training jobs, and she couldn't get them again. And it was saddening, because you don't just make a decision to change locations, to change cities, without seeking counsel, without finding out how exactly is this going to affect my career goals, what are the opportunities there. It's not just about the money, you know. So whenever you're thinking about career transitions, where you have found out what it is that you want to do, you've made your research, please consult. And then get someone who's like a mentor, who is really following, who knows your journey, who knows where you want to go, and how to help you to get to that point. And so the last part of frame is E, execute relentlessly. Like, be a die-hard execute. It is it's not a walk in the park. Success in life is not handed to anybody. You have to work for it. You have to put in the hours, sweat, blood, and tears. Sometimes all of them. Because even right now, we're celebrating Hilda Bassi. I mean, but we could see that. I mean, it was not easy. She didn't just sleep
around.
And become the celebrity that everybody wants to talk about. So you have to put in the work. Seize every opportunity. If you're in between jobs, then this is the time to volunteer. Look out for places who fit the type of organizations or the kind of work skills that you want to get paid for. Then begin to volunteer doing that, because it doesn't make sense for your CV if you have irrelevant skills as paid opportunities, and then you have a gap year, and then you say you were looking for a job in that period. If you want to get hired as a project manager or as a supervisor or as something, have you volunteered in that regard anywhere? If you want to do marketing, have you done marketing, even if it's as a volunteer, so that you can account for whatever gap period you have in your CV. You can put down those skills, which are employable skills, and you're able to show up that, okay, this is who I am and I'm qualified to. Even if I didn't do it as a paid job, I volunteered, and these are the results. This is what I was able to do. Because we've really gone past the point where people are bamboozled by CVs. It's not just, it's what you can do. What can you do? What are the results you can generate? Because if you just throw figures in the air and by chance you are hired, if you don't perform, it won't
you deliver
out.
If you can't
deliver, you get fired, and that's a negative reference. You can't come back to them to refer you for something else, you know.
True.
So every opportunity you get, you're creating a lasting impression of yourself. So whether or not you're getting paid to do it, know that it is for your good to do your best, because it will speak for you when the time comes. So so that's the frame acronym for career transitioning. Face your fears and your future, research options, aim for success, have your magic squad, and execute relentlessly. I hope that helps someone today.
Yes, it does. Of course it does. Wow. I think this is, should we call it the blueprint for anyone willing to transition? Because it touched everywhere. I loved where you said execute relentlessly, because there is actually nothing that is a walk in the park. Whether you're starting out or you're transitioning, if you don't put in the work, because you're not the only person trying to do that same thing. You're not the only person getting into that new job or getting into that career path. So if you don't put in the work, opportunities will fly over your head. It's amazing. It's really, really amazing. But then I also love the fact that this is a path you've toiled. Like, this is a path you've toiled. So you are experienced in this. So I like the fact that you mentioned and people that help you on this path, because imagine someone that was already on a path in a city where opportunities are, And then you leave that with, because you didn't ask questions, you didn't consult, and you go to somewhere and you lose all those amazing opportunities. And then you come back and it's like starting all over again. My God, that's so heartbreaking. So, but then I want to know, where's the place of networking in all of this? Yes, so yes, it's good to get coaches, it's good to get mentors, but then when in the new path where you're going, where's the place of building relationships, getting networks? And I wanted to touch a bit on that. The reason is because this is going to get to young people more. So I'm always very particular about talking about networking, especially in the career environment.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Zola. Networking is simply being connected to people. That's how I try to view it. And forming real connections. Many people think about networking, and they think about it in a transactional way. Meaning that if I'm connected to this person, I want to see how I can be in the right circle so that they can help me. Now, that is a wrong mindset, because when you start to do networking with that in as your reason, people can smell desperation from afar. True. They can tell when you're not genuinely building a real relationship, and you will eventually shut doors for yourself. So my approach to networking is to be a person of value wherever, to whoever I'm connected to. Now, what does this mean? It means that I will do, obviously put in more than the average person will, because I'm always looking out for how can I make this person's life better. Easier.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So apart from knowing all the big people going on their pages to be leaving comments, some people just feel networking is once you're commenting on people's pages, and then when there's events, you now go there and then take selfies with them, and then they feel that they have done networking. That's not it. That's not all of it. You know, because you need to, for you to succeed, you need to do more. You need to stand out from the pack, and you can't do that and you've stood out. So you can just think, okay, for example, you're going to an event and you want to network. The right way to network for me would be, it's not just going there and then giving them your card. I mean, they're going to trash it. It's even better for you to collect their card than for you to give out your
card. Give.
Because they're going to trash it. So how to make, so you could either, if they are like a keynote speaker, you can take a few notes about what it is they said, then reach out to them on LinkedIn and say, I was at XYZ event and I heard you speak on this, I'd love to connect. If they connect with you, fine. And once they connect with you, you can decide that, if you were at the event, you can decide to do like a transcript of their speech or like a summary and send it to them that, I don't know if you had the chance to do it, but this is transcript of your show. Or if you're someone who's like very you either take pictures or you do short videos, and then you can do a short video and send to them, I think this might be useful. And then you of course, you know that it should be good. It should be like very good. When they very see good. It, it's like, this person really, it's so thoughtful. You earn a badge of above the crowd kind of rep with them. And so they can now take it and share it on there. They say, someone really sent me this, very nice. They may not mention your name, but you have a special place, you know, with them, as opposed to every other person that just is sharing pictures of what it is that they said online. Another thing you can do is you can be a connector. So for example, because all these people have needs, or they have classes, you can refer them to people. You can connect one person to another person.
The other, yeah.
Obviously, but it may not benefit you directly, but they will always remember that this is the person that connected me to this person, you know. And so always look out for ways, how can I be a person of value to the people I'm trying to build. Another way to be a to grow your network is also to support your peers. It's very easy to look out for people who are like big people, big names, and run after them.
Forget those.
But you have those who are your friends, who are hustling and building things. Now, because you're a person of value, your network, your peers should also be actively building things. The truth is, in the next 10 years, 20 years, all of you are going to grow and be. And then you would also have people who you started out together and you're now in different places. So imagine if you have grown together all through these years. By the time you get to 20 years, all these things we're seeing with the big names now, Tedola, this person, that one, when they sit down, it's almost like there's like a clique. You can build your own clique from today, you know. So intentionally look out for people who are your peers, who are doing good stuff, and shout them out, give them, support them. Sometimes your destiny helpers might not be the big people, but people who are your peers that know what it is that you're doing, and then they have an uncle or they have somebody who can invest in your business or who can help give you a word, who can send your CV to somewhere. So you shouldn't always think about networking as only bottoms up kind of way. There's also the horizontal type of networking, building your network, so that you're being a person of value, whether it is to someone who's at the top or whether it's someone who is on the same level as you are.
That is very, 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 very important, because we often make this mistake. We often look up all the time, you know, because we look to the people that are inspiring us and all of that, and neglect every other person within our sphere of influence. And that is very important. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because while networking, imagine in 10 years, everybody that you connected with now had club shots. All you just need to do is just pick up your phone and just make a call, and that's it.
Exactly.
You know, because you've taken your time to develop that network and build that connection over the years. That is very, very key. So some people transition due to circumstances beyond their control, some due to losses and all of that. So it forces them into career transitions. And sometimes some people do that while they are not even ready for such change. So it comes to them suddenly. Now, for people in that category, what are some of the advice you would give to such people? Because sometimes it comes down to their mental health, you know, having to make a sweep change into something you were not prepared for. So for such people, what kind of advice will you give to such people that helps them stay motivated going through that path, that season of their life?
Yeah. Thank you for that question. Not every transition is triggered by something positive. Yeah. And the truth is that whatever it is, allow yourself to breathe. Don't be too in a hurry to jump into something whilst we are still in a confused state of mind. What do I mean by that? You can tell yourself, okay, I'm going to get a per hour job or a waitressing job or something just to keep my bills going, but so that my hands are engaged, I'm paying my bills, but I'm resting my mental state, I'm taking time to process. Because the truth is, you don't want to make life altering decisions whilst you're unstable mentally. Meaning that you're still in your emotions. Maybe you've suffered a loss of someone, you've traveled to stay, relocated, and there has been something. I mean, there's a lot going on, and you're not able to manage yourself mentally, so that you don't put pressure on yourself more than you're able to bear at that time. So, like we said, the first one, face your fears, like face it, like what exactly, where am I? What's going on with me? Okay, I'm this. Okay, what can in 6 months, what can I do within these 3 months, within 6 months, within this, that can help me get to a more productive state of mind. So sometimes it might be to take up a hobby. Sometimes it might be to do what makes you happy. Do what makes you... So that's how some people stumble on great things. Okay, maybe I like cooking. Maybe I like painting. So you hear some people that, oh, they started their painting after they had a loss, and then it evolved, and then they began to find joy in it, and it evolved. So find out what exactly do you do that gives you joy. So if it could be music, you can learn music, and then you can do that for a while, or it can open up a new door to you. But you need to get your mind in a productive place, and you can't do that with pressure, because you're going to break down eventually. So take it easy on yourself, love on yourself, do what makes you happy, do what makes you smile at the end of the day, do something that brings joy to you. So it could be for money, it could be volunteer, but if you are in a place where you don't have the luxury of doing things for free, then do something that really doesn't engage you so much, so that you can just get it done. But tell yourself, okay, I have an exit plan in the next 1 year, next 2 years. I just want to get some money to get back on my feet before I go next, so that you have a plan for yourself. It is something that you're very strategic about, and you're doing it in such a way that you're becoming a better person. So you don't want to transition and then you're digging more holes for yourself, and it's almost like a never-ending cycle. At every point, you should be growing into a better version of yourself.
True. I totally agree. Wow, thank you so much, Ruth. It's been amazing. Okay, before I let you go, sincerely, I don't want to let you go, but I finally have to. But before I let you go, I just want you to speak to young people getting into careers for the first time. This is not transitioning right now, but this is them getting into the work environment. I usually love this expert to beginner advice, especially for people that have been in the work environment for a long time. So what would be your advice to someone, young people getting into the work environment? What would you say to them? Do this or don't do this?
Okay. Yeah, so the getting into a career is very exciting. You've got a job, you're excited, you're starting out on a job. The first thing you should do is to have a personal goal for yourself on the job. So where do I want to be in the next 1 year, 2 years, you know? And then you can speak to your direct supervisor, talk to them about what the expectations are, what they would reckon as success for you at the job. So what this does for you is that it sets you apart as someone who's very concerned about excelling at their job, and it gives that for your supervisor, they begin to see you differently, and then it gives you a clear path, so you're not assuming things, because assumptions can work either way. So it can work in your favor, it can work against you. So you're not assuming, you're being very specific about what it is that you're doing, and you're getting it done. And so that is one thing that I think should set clear goals, ask for expectations, and begin to work at it. So the second thing would be to have an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, there's this lethargy that people associate with, especially Gen Zs and Alphas. I mean, what's the next after Gen Z now? I don't know what the next generation is called.
I don't know.
You know, so people, they see them as that kind of... it's not my father's work, I cannot come and kill myself. So but that kind of attitude is not going to get you anywhere in terms of work, accolades, and all of that. Having an entrepreneurial spirit is the spirit that says, okay, you're given a task to do. Okay, I don't know how to do it. I won't learn how to do it. is the spirit that is the can do spirit, is the never die spirit, is the spirit that says, I'll give all of this and more. What it does for you is that it helps you build competencies fast. So it's your first time at the job. Obviously, there will be things that you don't know how to do. So not many people would sit down to teach you. So it is your responsibility to teach yourself. There are amazing places online for you to learn and all that. So if you're seeing things on your job that you don't know how to do, go and do research. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do my job better? How am I going to make it faster? So this job, by the first week, second week, it takes me 3 hours to do. How can I do it in 1 hour? People feel like if I finish it in 1 hour, they'll not start giving me extra work. Who's lost? You're building yourself. Uh-huh. You're developing yourself. Because the faster you learn at a job, the more you can easily rise to another place. So people are at a job, they've not even done 6 months. They're writing application for another job. Then they'll be quoting new skills and competencies that they've not even had. The truth is, if you are building skills and competencies, you will be the hunted. People will be wanting to put you all over because of the way they see the way you're working. You will be the one looking for ways to rock the boat or jump to another place. So be the person that is the best. Let it be that they'll say, your own is too much. Your own is too, you have come now. It's okay. Everybody's goal is different. Be the person that when they come, who is your best performing staff? You should be the best performing staff. Because, I mean, are you on earth to be mediocre? No. If you're at a place, you should be your best. Whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. And so it's not about the owner of the company. It's not about what the company culture does. It's about, remember, you know how we talk about your goal. It's about how this fits into your career goals for yourself. So even if you have an exit plan, your time at a particular job should be your preparation for the next rung of the ladder. So, but you can't sit down at a place and follow everybody complaining about management. No. It's not going to serve your goal. So when you go to work in a place, don't go there with the mindset and then you see how people are behaving, you follow them to complain. You're going to be stuck there complaining like every other person. But if you have a personal drive for yourself, you have that kind of spirit, you are able to always measure yourself. Okay, how am I doing my goal? I want to work 5 years here, then I want to get to managerial position at so-so age, then I need to do this and I need to do this. That is how to grow. But if you don't put in the work to get it done, you remain at that level, and then you need to say somebody's responding to you when there's nobody responding to you. So I don't know if that helps.
It does. Thank you so much, Ruth. Thank you. This has been amazing. Welcome. Thank you. All right, people, I am sure you got value. I mean, from the frame work, or should I call it blueprint, to how to behave, what kind of person you should be in your workplace, and every other thing, of course, that we talked about, every other areas that we touched on today. I am very, very certain that if you follow through with everything that Ruth has shared today, you will not only have issues transitioning, but even when you get to your new workplace or your new career path, you will excel, right? You will be the best among your equals, definitely. And that is what we are hoping that this episode helps you achieve. This has been Rooted and Robust Podcast. My name is Ozioma Anyoji. Remember to follow us on our social media channels, on Facebook at Rooted and Robust Podcast, on Instagram at Rooted and Robust. All right, guys, I will come your way again next week with another amazing episode, of course, with another beautiful guest discussing something that will nurture your roots and help you grow a robust future. My name is Ozioma once again, and I will talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Ina Indeshwa na AfriPods.